How big are you? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Not Nigeria, but Campo, California. With a thought for today, how big are you? Now you say, well, that's not very nice. Well, yes, it is. Throughout our entire life, from the time we're born to the time that we move on to some other activity, sometimes we take our body with us, sometimes we don't. But everyone's saying, how big are you? How big are you? The little children, how big are you? How tall are you? And they say, I'm so tall, you know, holding their hand up above their head. Yeah, I'm so tall. And well, let me measure you by the wall. So on the wall are these little pencil marks, you know. And they seem to stay there forever. I've seen some of them that have been 30, 40 years, 50 years. Hey, that's not long. That's not long at all. But they're there. Now, how big are you? Does that indicate how big are you? And Rex, sit. Thank you. How big are you? What is it that turns you on? Now, Ellen was just giving instructions to Rex to sit down and not get excited about running around while we're giving our talk. Because when he does that, then he gets a little love excited, and then all the rest of you get excited, and nobody pays attention to the talk. So Ellen was saying, Rex, sit down. But she was pointing down. But she was pointing behind his head. Rex, sit down. As though he has eyes behind his head. Now, I could see them. I'm sitting across the table here. But Rex couldn't see that. So Rex didn't know what he was supposed to do. He didn't know how tall he was or how big he was. He didn't know. Well, Rex has no idea how big he is. He goes walking through the narrowest places and everything spreads when he walks through. Because how big is he? How big is Rex? Rex is a skinny dog or a big dog, whatever he wants to be. And when Rex dances around here and he sees anyone come in he hasn't seen for a while, he jumps up on the couch, he jumps up on the love seat, he jumps up on the easy chair, he jumps up on the couch, he jumps up on and makes a round and around and around, and then on the floor, and then he rolls over on his back and his feet up in the air, and he twists on the floor, you know, giving himself a back rub, and he's just showing how happy he is and what a content dog he is and how big he is. Now, Little Love tries to do that too, and Little Love is one-eighth the size of Rex, and that's pretty small. And when Little Love tries to do that, you know, he gets just as much attention as Rex does. Now, why does he get just as much attention? Because he knows how big he is. He is as big as all his eyes can perceive himself to be. Just like Rex is as big as his eyes can perceive himself to be. And Rex perceives himself to fit into any hole. He will snuggle into bed with you, and he'll lay down next to you, and he'll snuggle up next to you, and next thing you know, you're on the floor. You know? And it doesn't bother him. It doesn't bother him at all to knock you off on the floor. And we have to say, Rex, you get down there, I'm up here. And so Rex gets down there, and then he lays his head on your bed, you know. And he says, you really want me on the floor here? You know. But you see, how big do you perceive yourself to be? How big are you? Are you just a lap dog? How many St. Bernards think that they're lap dogs? Or these great big Dalmatians or whatever they are. Not Dalmatian, but like Little Love here. And the golden
Doberman.
Doberman pinchers, you know. The big Doberman pinchers think that they're lap dogs. You know? And they jump on your lap and they just about kill you because they're so big. But you see, how big are you? What determines how big you are? And it's always just your attitude about yourself. Now, a little child can be brought up in two or more atmospheres and two or more environments. One child is brought up in a home where he's told little children are to be seen but not heard. You've heard that? Little children are to be seen but not heard. And then another environment, little children are just little people. They are people, and they have the same rules that the big people have for them. They may not know them yet, but they have the same rules. And so with little people, you train them with all the things that you train the big people with. And pretty soon the little people do everything the big people do, and do it well, and do it nicely, if they do it right. If the little kid runs in a room, dashes across the room, and jumps in his daddy's lap, and gives him a big hug, and says, "Oh, I love you," and daddy's right in the middle of discussing war and peace, you know. And so he says, "Son, you bother me, get off my lap, I'm talking about something." He would never say that, because he loves the kid. And the people who are listening would be disturbed by it, or would they? Would they think that this is a harmonious home where a child can show its love at any time to its parent, where a child can come into its parent's arms at any time and be welcomed, that there's never a time that the child should be not seen and not heard? You say, "Well, Herb, you sure didn't live in a very busy household, did you?" Well, there are five kids in our household. And we were taught children should be seen and not heard, but that's not what we followed. We were everywhere doing everything and being courteous. The one thing my mother insisted upon from all of us kids, and my dad helped her insist on that, was being courteous. Being courteous starting to ourselves. Always mother would say, you remember how Jesus said it? Do unto others. Mm-hmm. Always mother would say, "Would you like someone to do that to you?" Mm-hmm. Or, "How would you like to be treated?" Or, "What do you think would be?" See, how big are we? We're never too big to learn those things. Even from little children on, "Hey, would you like someone to sleep while you're talking, you know?" And you say, "No." Well, then don't you sleep. But I just fall asleep because I'm 175 years old and I'm this and that and the other. No. If I were talking about your family, your ex-husband, your sister, your nieces and nephews, you'd be wide awake, your eyes would be aglow, you'd be sparkling, and you'd be full of life because you'd have interest, you see. Now, I'm telling you this not to pick on anybody. I'm telling you this to show you that our attitude is self-perpetuated. We make our attitude be valuable to us by our choice. I have women coming into my office buku so often. And what's the first thing they do? Anyone can tell me? They cry. "Oh, I've got this problem. Oh, can you help me? Oh, Dr. Barley. Oh, oh." And I say, "Shut up. If you're hurting, let's take care of it. If you're not hurting and you're doing that just for effect on me, it has no effect on me. I mean, I have been cried by the best of them." And I said, "I am not interested in your crying, because crying is an emotion that you can control. You can turn on or turn off at your leisure, and you do. People do this. They turn it on and off at their leisure. And they turn it on whenever they feel guilty or whenever they feel hurt or whenever they feel this. Then you can also turn it off, you know? Now, do you think somebody loves to see you crying when they come around you? No. They don't like it because they don't know why you're crying. And they're thinking, what's the first thing people think when someone's crying? What did I do to cause that? So right away, you put other people at odds with you. You put them feeling the blame. So how big are you? Are you going to be a little manipulator all your life? Little children, they start out with this very early in life. Fall down, scratch themselves terribly, and they're bleeding, and they're just looking, and then they look around. There's nobody around. So then they run home. and they find their mother. And they won't start it until they find her.
Yeah.
And they find their mother. They walk into the living room. Their mother is sitting knitting or something. And they say, ah! And my God, you think the world fell in. And it just started that instant because they were putting on a show. They were doing this. And when their mother says, well, sweetheart, are you having fun? You know, no, I'm hurting. Well, come here. Let me see where your hurt is. Oh, goodness. Go wash that off and go out and play. Okay. He got attention. But it wasn't as expensive as it could have been, you know. No. We all do that. We all do that. We all have a tendency to go around this world manipulating others to get what we want because we're still little children. I'm going to tell you a secret right now. And that secret is, any attention you get from anybody else is not worth the price you pay for it. The attention you want is from yourself. I like me. I'm happy. Give me a few other statements.
I'm divine order. I'm peace. I'm peace.
Thank you for speaking loud enough for our microphone over here. What are you?
I'm so relaxed and happy. I am so relaxed.
I am so relaxed and happy. Oh, wonderful. Good.
I am independently wealthy.
I am independently wealthy. Oh, my goodness. Sounds like a great idea, doesn't it?
I like me.
Good.
I am myself and I have fun.
I am myself and I have fun every moment of my life. I am myself and I have fun even without a wife. Hippity-ho, hippity-hee, hippity-hi. Oh, I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. Now, you see, we can do that all the time. Now, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun, and it's fun to be silly. And it's fun to do these things and mean them. And mean them. Now, I didn't mean anything against my wife. I married one woman, and we got unmarried after 25 years of marriage. I'm sure some of you would correct me. It was 21 or 23 or 24 or maybe 26 or whatever it was. Who gives a damn? But the thing is, she never remarried because she never found anyone else on this world, on this earth, that was equal to me. And I never remarried because I never found anybody else on earth who was equal to her. And so I'm not going to mess up a good memory, am I? And she isn't either. But we're both very happy walking our own paths, doing our own thing, being... What?
Ourselves and having fun.
Being ourselves and having fun. Now, how big are you?
As big as my attitude is.
Ooh-wee, isn't she a quick one? As big as my attitude is, and that's true. You are as big as your attitude is. Rex is as big as his attitude is, you know? Now, do you think that Sybil here is a shorty?
A biggie.
No. Sybil is a dynamic, forceful, powerful, imaginative, creative woman. You like that?
Yes.
You are the ideal woman. Can you handle that?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can handle that. Now, can you be any bigger than that?
No.
Now, Christy, what is she? Is she the ideal nurse? Is she the ideal mother? Is she the ideal aunt? Or is she the ideal sister? Or is she the ideal... What is she the ideal?
She is ideal.
Yeah, but she's the ideal woman. But
oh, sorry.
She is ideal.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, now... How much bigger than that can you be?
As big as my attitude.
As big as your attitude. And that's exactly correct. We are as big as our attitude is. Now, what is Sybil's attitude about herself? No comparison. Sylvia, what's your attitude about yourself?
No comparison.
Rex, what's your attitude about yourself, huh? Ingeborg, what's your attitude about yourself?
Great. Yes, it's
great. Ellen, we haven't got you in this discussion much here. What's your attitude about yourself?
As big as I like myself.
You what?
As big as I like myself.
And what? I like myself. I am as big as I think I like myself.
Okay.
Now, I wouldn't make that statement because you have a very crooked attitude about liking yourself from time to time. When you stub your toe, you say, oh! You know, and that's liking yourself on the bottom, because we wouldn't stub our toe if we really liked ourselves, you know. Yeah. What kind of birthday party are we going to have today? What kind of cake, what kind of stuff are we going to have?
We have a great birthday party. And we have a fantastic cake. And what else?
Done.
It's all done.
In the now, and it's all done. It's all
done.
Oh, how delicious that is. Yeah, yeah. Now, you should have seen Ellen. She looked at it, and there were six of them there. And she couldn't decide whether to take one or six, you know. She had such a trouble. And I said, Ellen, we have to have room to carry it, you know. And so then she just cut it down to one. But that woman who thinks she's so big, she acted like a little girl yesterday at Costco. And as she was walking around in Costco, she went to the cheese cutter. He was sending out cheese samples and heated bread. And so she had to reach over and take two.
Yes.
Two.
You saw that.
Not much misses me, if anything. So how big was she? She was a little girl reaching up for those pieces of bread. She was not a sophisticated woman saying, I will try this. Oh, that's so good. I will try another piece, and that's okay. But you see, a big person, a big woman, a fat woman, no, a big woman, doesn't let, she doesn't have to act like a little girl. I want to do this. That's so cute. Oh, you know, and when you do that, it shows how big you are. What is your attitude about yourself? How do you have to act to do the things you want to do? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting, isn't it? Oh, Ellen bought me a new shirt and a new pair of pants. And so I put them on and I wore them over here. And I got to the top of the steps up here. And Ellen was looking up at me and saying, oh! And so I did a curtsy, which is not me at all, you know. But I did a curtsy like that, and of course everyone had to laugh, but that's not being me. It's a cute little illustration for a second, but it's not me, because what is it? I should stand straight and tall and say, yes, I do look fine in these clothing that you bought, you know. But to do the curtsy is to be a little show-off. And the little children, the little girls and boys, you tell them how to curtsy and be show-offs, you know, because you want them to show off their new clothing or their new whatevers, you know. But how big are you? Are you going to always revert back to your childhood? Are you going to always revert back to manipulating other people as children do? Or are you going to live in the now and be supercalifragilistic, expialidocious? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. How can you handle it? Are you ready? Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I think it's a good thing. And I think that it's about time that we all recognize who we are and how big we are. And we don't have to pretend anything. We let it all hang out and we just are beautiful, fabulous, mentally alert, harmonious people who are vibrant, knowledgeable, and geniuses. And one of these days, we'll all arrive at that level of competence that Christy has. And that will be a joyous time. Mm-hmm. Have a lovely morning, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
Love you.
20 minutes. How about that?
They have at least